But it's always an honor, it's always a pleasure, you know, to talk about God, to talk about the good things that the Lord has been doing in our lives. You know, that's, it's not, you know, God bless us, not for us to keep, but we need to share to those that are around us. And that's exactly what we did when we went to the Philippines. So thank you, pastors, Pastor Herman, Pastor Carol, that you're always open to us. Thank you for the encouragement, for the support, for the prayers, and everything. Thank you to all of you, too. So I thought I was just going to share about what happened in the Philippines, but yeah, we can talk about the word also. So from December, I was already planning on what to do. Well, it's my prayer that you folks will be blessed from what I'm going to share tonight, what the Lord has done to the people there in the Philippines. And it will encourage you and maybe even challenge you to go and share your faith to others, because sometimes we don't know. I mean, there's so much life in us that sometimes we don't realize we have that life within us, but others who don't have it really can see that, and they're just make comments like, oh, why are you so energetic? You know, well, there's so much life in you and things like that. And that's because we have the Lord. So we are commissioned to do that. You know, when Jesus told us to go and preach the word, tell the world about me, that's a very important commandment, because that's when, before he left, whatever he said before he left must be very important to us. So that's the context of what I'm going to share tonight. But anyway, yeah, come December, I was already planning. It has been a very hectic year, like Pastor Carol was sharing. It's been a hectic year, 2022. There were many deaths in our own family. And those that were gone before, you know, we were just going to celebrate their one-year death anniversary, and with Auntie it was 3 years. And then there were more deaths in the family, and not just our physical family, but even our church family here. You know, Sister Jennifer going, it was really sad, but I rejoice that we know where she's at. But I do miss her presence. I do miss her, especially going to children's church, because she was such a faithful worker. She loves the kids. It just exudes in her. It reminds me of Jesus when he was talking to the Samaritan woman and the disciples. I'm going to go straight now. But anyway, the disciples went to look for food because they were hungry. And when they came back, they see him refreshed and like so much energy. And they said, what? Where did he get the food? You know, there's no food here. We're in the middle of the nowhere here for him to get the food. But then he said, what nourishes me is doing the will of the Father. And that's how I saw Sister Jennifer. She was just so energetic. One time I asked her, how old are you, Sister Jennifer? And then she told me, and I go, oh my, yeah. I wish that I would be as energetic as you, you know, when I reached that age, because she was just so full of life all the way. She served all the way until it was time to go. Anyway, so that was my plan, was to go on a vacation and just go R&R, you know. I'm going to the Philippines, and never mind traveling to other countries. I just want to be with my family and spend time with them, because, you know, like I said, with loved ones who have gone before us, I wanted to just spend time, that quality time with them, because I don't get to do that very often. It was like 3 years ago when Lag and I went last, and then came the pandemic. So anyway, and also, it was a very grueling campaign. Last year, I was involved in that campaign for probably 8 months, and it was always on the go. going to the radio station at 6:20 in the morning. We had a Filipino show for like an hour, you know, with now Mayor Bissin. And, you know, all the other meetings that we did, sign waving and all that, with some of you are involved. Thank you for being involved. So it was a very hectic year. So I told Clyde, we're going to go to the Philippines, but Lag didn't want to go. So I said, okay, well, we'll just go, Clyde, and just R&R. And then a few days after, the Lord, it has to be the Lord, reminded me of what happened in 2020 when we did the Mission 316. And he reminded me of how it was. And then I could even see the people. I could even see their faces. You know, those ones who attended the meeting and those who accepted the Lord. Because I kept their name. We had a sign-up sheet, and I kept their name, and I prayed for them, you know. Oftentimes, I would do that. It's not every day, but oftentimes, I would lay my hand on them and mention them by name. And one of them, even one young one, already went to be with the Lord. She was in her 40s. And I was sad, but at the same time, I was grateful that I was able to share with her before she went, because she did accept the Lord. So in my heart, I know that she is in heaven. You know, she had asthma attack and, you know, couldn't breathe. So by the time she went to the hospital, it was too late. But like I said, you know, I know she is in heaven right now. And yeah, because of that, and then the Lord also impressed on me the scriptures when we did the Mission 316 that he gave me. In Matthew 9:37-38, and these are all in the NLT. Verse 37 said, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his fields. And also John 4:35-38. Says here, do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends, 4 months from now? Look around you. Best fields are ripening all around us and are now ready for harvest. 36 says, the harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What more precious gift that we can give to people but eternal life? We can give them food, you know, physical food, but that will pass. But give them Jesus, and they'll have eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and harvester alike? Verse 37 said, you know the saying, one person plants and someone else harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and you will gather the harvest. So all the scriptures was just brought to memory. I wrote it down. See, it says Mission 316, 2020, when the Lord spoke to me those verses. And I said, Lord, yes, okay. There's some things that are already planned for this vacation. You know, I'm having reunion with my high school friends. You know, from 50-something years ago, we graduated from high school. You can figure out how old I am. I'm 68 anyway. So, you know, reunion with them and people coming from other countries, USA, Canada, and those that are there. And I go, oh, that will be hectic. But I said, no, that's only 2 days. I will spend time with them. I will just be with them, and I'm not going to travel anywhere with them because this is more important. I enjoyed spending time with them. But like I said, this vacation, I call it vacation with a mission. Because really, when we are born again, when it may not look like it on the outside, what we're doing or what we're involved in, but there's always that higher call for us when we're involved in something, because there's always a purpose. God will use us if we just in tune to that Holy Spirit. You know, even at the campaign that I was involved in, of course I was campaigning for Richard Bisson at that time, but boy, the opportunities that I had to minister to those people that I don't normally associate with, and there we were, like, sign waving and meetings and more meetings, and I get to share with them about God's love. Keko Akana, who's now the managing director, I get to spend some time with him. We know each other from the time I was working at the prosecutors because he was assistant chief, but we never really share about our faith. He's a mighty man of God. It's just amazing. The mayor's wife, she's just a mighty prayer warrior. You know, she's very strong in the Lord. So I'm really glad, you know, that I was able to spend this time with them, you know, plant the seed. And now that he's mayor, they called me and said, Lena, can you pray for this? Can you please, you know, because I also share with them that we have an intercessory prayer at the church. And we pray. We pray for our officials. We pray for our mayor. We pray for the governor. We pray for the country. So they would call me and say, we're going through this. Can you pray? And, you know, if they allow me to share with the intercessory group, I will share those things that they've been telling me. So it's good. We plant those seeds wherever we go. And we leave the rest to God, because after all, he's the Lord of the harvest. We just need to do what we have to do and leave the rest to God. Just like me here standing before you. Cheryl asked me, nervous. I said, now that you asked, now I think I'm feeling nervous. Well, I said, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But anyway, we just have to do our part, and he does the rest. We prepare, of course. Of course I prepared when I went to the Philippines. I'm not just going to go there and just be entertain them or what. We need to share the word, because that's the incorruptible word of God. It's quick and powerful, and it's not us anyway. We're just a channel to that. And that's what I told them when we had those 2 days of meeting. And those 2 days of meeting were glorious. Let me backtrack. See? That's why I have my notes, so I don't jump around, but I already did. Excuse me. Anyway, I said this is a vacation with a mission. And I believe those meetings were God-inspired, Holy Spirit-led meetings, because it was just so, I wasn't nervous. It was easy. In fact, the word I gave lag, I think, when I texted the intercessory prayer group after the first meeting, I said, it's just like hand passing through water. You know, it's just so easy to minister, because they were so hungry with the word. Very hungry with the word. And, let me share this. Let me just backtrack. When we do the will of God, he always gives us favors, you know, as we are going through that process. And let me share this with you. During the beginning of our trip, we already had several favors before even reaching the Philippines. Our travel agent waited for us at the airport. They said, you're late. You know, our flight is at 7:30, and we showed up at 6. And she said, you're late already. And I go, no, it's an hour and a half. And she said, you don't know how long the TSA line going to be. And I said, well, okay, but hour and a half. So the porter helped us and went and get our boarding pass. And he had to do certain things. And this travel agent told me, okay, once you get your passport and your boarding pass, just go in line and I'll wait for him here. So she waited for them. I said, would you do that? She said, yeah, go. I'll take care of your bags. So we went to TSA, and sure enough, the line was long. But God's favor, no sweat. God's favor, it was a long line. I was surprised because it was early in the morning. Because they said between 10 and 2 is the busy time, but you never know, you know, what the day looks like. So we stayed there at the, not the end of the line, because there were people too behind us, but it was a long line, you know, it snake already. And there we was, Clyde and my brother. We were three of us traveling together. And Ed Ariola, you guys know Ed? Scott's friend. And he's also my friend now. Well, we know each other too when he was a police officer. He retired from the police force. And we've had encounters when I was still at work. So he saw us there. He saw us and he said, hey, Lena, where are you going? And I said, Philippines. He's in his police airport uniform. And he said, and he came to us, you know, but it was a long line. And he said, come. I said, where? He said, just follow me. And he started taking those things that, you know, those things that, yeah. And he said, follow me. I said, there's three of us, you know, going. He said, yeah, three of you, follow me. So we're following. Where are we going? And he let us stop right in front of the TSA checker. He was checking someone, and then he said, you're going to be next? And I go, brother, can you do that? He said, I just did. I said, hey, thanks, sir. Oh, I didn't want to look behind because all the stairs going. And I go, oh, Lord, thank you for the favor. Thank you for the favor. So we didn't have to wait a long time. So, see, those are all easy, light and easy. And also, but we had another incident at the Honolulu gate check-in for the neighbor island people, because we check in all the way to our destination in the Philippines, but we had to check in again because I guess that's just the procedure. We came from neighbor island, and she was mean agent at the gate. And it was a long line again, but then it was my turn already. Always the one going line. My two men, travel companion, they're there, and I'm the one, okay, I'll go. Oh, she was mean. She said, I need to see, are you ready? And I said, yes, I'm ready. I got my passport. I get my boarding pass. She said, oh, no, I need your baggage claim that they gave you on Maui. And I go, okay, it's in my pouch. I said, okay, I'll get it. No, you're not ready. She goes like that. No, you're not ready. Oh, you're wasting my time. And I go, no, it's right here. Anyway, oh, she was something else. And then she said, you're supposed to be ready because now you're wasting my time. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. It's right here. And then she left us. And Clyde just rose up, I guess, the righteous indignation. He go, oh, how are you going to help us? You're there talking to the people. Nobody told me I have to give them the baggage tags also. So I said, nobody told me that. So anyway, I said, oh, Lord, I've been meditating on God's love. How am I going to handle this? So when she came back, but Clyde was going, we're ready. Where are you? You know, how are you going to help us? I said, can I just handle this, Clyde? So when she came back, I said, it must be very difficult for you to handle so many passengers. And then she kind of softened up. And I said, I'm sorry I wasn't ready, but here's our paperwork. And there's three of us, he said. I can only process one at a time. And I said, I understand that. I'm just warning you that there are three of us, so I'll be here a while. So she did all that. And they're weighing our hand carry because these Filipinos, they try to bring everything from Maui. And you're supposed to have only 15 pounds. So she weighed my hand carry. She said, oh, okay, less than 15. But then I was already talking to her, must be difficult for her. How come only two of them here? And she said, yeah, because they're all in the front. And we processed the neighbor island passengers, and there's 66 of you. And then she asked me, what is that? It was my lunch bag. And I said, oh, our lunch sandwiches. Why, we feed you in the plane? And I said, yeah, I know, but sometimes you get delayed, so I'm just being prepared. And she said, we wake up at 4 o'clock this morning. She said, me too. I woke up at 4, and I was here at 5. And I go, do you want some? I'll share with you. And she said, no, thank you. But she's softened up now. You know, she was softening already, the word. And then she was calling me Mrs. Lorenzo already. And I go, wow, I'm not a statistic now. I became a person in her sight. But it's all the love of God, you know. And so she helped us. Clyde's and my brother's one, she didn't even weigh them. You know, she has her scale weighing. And the people looking again, and they said, you didn't weigh that. She said, oh, I've been doing this how many years already? I know, even without the scale. She said, no, they pass. So the favor of God was with us already. Anyway, oh, that was fun. Yeah. And our flight all the way to Manila was very smooth. Even my brother, because they used to travel every year when my sister-in-law was still alive. They were traveling there once a year or twice a year. And she said, this flight is so smooth. She said, this is very, what did he say? Very unusual that it's this smooth flight. And I go, well, brother, you just didn't know. I commissioned the angels, you know, to be around this plane. Yeah, all the way until we land. So all the favors that we have. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, so we got to our destination. And we did our meeting for 2 days. And we had helpers in the Philippines. My sister-in-law, I liken her to a Samaritan woman, because when we set the date of the, was 3 days after we arrived there. No, 4 days after we arrived there, because different time zone. I'm still kind of sleepy, you know, different times of the day. So I said, give me 3 days to just kind of acclimate myself. She went and invite people, you know, down the road, our neighbors. Because I said, let's go and maybe bring flyers or do personal invitation. Let's go. She said, Manang, I already did that. I went and invite the people. They'll be here. And my brother, he has a little mom and pop store, you know, so people go there in the village and buy things from him. He was inviting them. And he even closed his store when we had the Bible meeting. So he came to the meeting. And then my niece, oh, I was so touched by this. My niece, who was born again and got baptized in the Holy Spirit the last time we went, and we've been doing Bible study. Lag has been so faithful in giving Bible study to them, and her faith is really built up. I can see the growth in her, her husband. She tagged him with me. I told her, we're going to be talking about the love of God, so, you know, come and help me out with this, because sometimes, you know, although I do interpreting with Ilocano, it doesn't come right away, you know, the right words. So she tagged him with me during the meetings. And on top of that, her 8-year-old son volunteered himself to say the prayer at the beginning of the meetings. So he, that alone, Lord, I said, thank you so much. It's all worth it, you know. What we do, we just don't see it maybe, or we don't see it right away, but just those alone that happen, it's just so overwhelming, the love of God. I just knew it, that the meeting will be good, and it was very good. The first meeting we had the meeting at our house. There were 38 people who attended on the first day, and 19 of them accepted the Lord. Because we had other people were the ones who came from 3 years ago. So the 19 new ones who came, they all accepted the Lord. And the second day, we had 45 people who attended because some of them invited their friends. And 11 of them accepted the Lord. So we had 30 converts, new Christians, for those two meetings that we had. I said, 30. That should be exciting for us because I know the angels in heaven are rejoicing. So it's just so good. Yeah, it's just amazing what God can do through us. And like I said, I was just a channel. It was all God because He is the Lord of the harvest. We just have to know how to yield. And I've missed it many times, you know, when the Lord prompt me to do things and I don't do it. But Lord, I repent. Please give me another chance. When we do that, you know, He will come again. He will give us that second, third chance. Come on, you know, you need to do this. And then we need to be sharpen our we need to sharpen our spiritual skills to be able to discern when to do that. You know, because there were times that I would think of people and I said, I'll call them later, and then I get distracted and I don't. And then later on I found out something happened to them, and oh, it's just so devastating when that happened. But I'm getting better at that. So we are all getting better at that because we are growing in the Lord. We're not the same yesterday. We should be advancing even today from yesterday or from Sunday, the last meeting that we had. So anyway, I will encourage you that we don't need to have titles or positions to be able to do something. You know, we can do it. I shared to the people in the Philippines, I said, even if it just John 3:16 is what you know, that is enough because that is the meat of the Bible. Jesus, from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. So if you know John 3:16, don't feel like you don't know enough. You know a lot already if you know John 3:16 by heart. And they did memorize that. The second day I got them saying that, and oh boy, they will stand up and just recite John 3:16 in Ilocano. It was so encouraging. So anyway, yeah, I told them that we were there to tell them about the good news of the gospel. And we're not trying to convert them to religion, but to encourage them to have that personal relationship with the Lord. Because religion is man's way of reaching out to God, but Christianity is God's way of reaching out to us. So that's what we told them. It's the good news of the gospel. And I believe the very foundation of our faith is to know and believe in God's unconditional love for us. And in order to do that, we need to look at the Bible definition of love. So we went through that. I used a lot of 1 John, that chapter on 1 John, because he is the beloved disciple. And you know what? Jesus didn't even say that about John. Jesus didn't say to John, you're my beloved disciple. It was John's revelation of God's love towards him that he called himself the beloved disciple of Christ. So I shared a lot on 1 John. We all know that. I was going to say basic, but nothing is basic about God's word. All the fundamentals of faith that we know is there. The fundamentals of love, like 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So He just doesn't love us, but He Himself is love. So that's His very nature. And it's because of God's love We love each other as a result of God loving us. So that gives us that capability to love others because of God's love that we have received. But we have to receive the love of God first because that's the real love. We cannot do that on our own. It has to be God's love that makes us love each other. And that is real love. And also, the more we have the revelation of God's love, which I focus, and I do have the scriptures for that, but like I said, you guys are very familiar with those, 1 John 4:8 and 9, 1 John 4:19. We love each other as a result of his loving us first. Because of God's love, we have the ability to love others. And how did he show us his love? He loved us, 1 John 4:9, he loved us by sending his son into the world so we might have eternal life through him. And then John 3:16. And also, we talked about nothing that can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from that. So just going through the scriptures, we had the Ilocano Bibles, and thank you for some of you who gave some money before I went. We were able to buy 12 Bibles to give out to them, and inflation, Bibles are more expensive now than the last time that we went. I think it was like 500 pesos at the time. Now it's about 630 pesos for one Bible. So it's very precious to them to have a Bible. And we were able to buy 12 Bibles for the new converts. And they treasure that. I tell them, bring your Bibles. But also what we did different, like from the last time that we went, we printed, I made an outline of all the scriptures that we used at the Bible study. And Cindy, my niece who helped me, she made the handout. And we give that out to them because they were not taking notes. So even though I'm telling them about where's the page in the Bible, yeah, very basic. If I quote scripture, I would tell them, look at page so-and-so, because they're not well-versed with the Bible. They don't know. There's 66 books in the Bible. They know the order of those books. So anyway, yeah, so we did that. And also, when they memorize John 3:16, I told them, for God so loved the world. Okay, the world. But it's really, who are the ones that are in the world? It's the people. It's the people that God's loved. The people, for God so loved the people, us. And I said, please memorize that and personalize it. For God so loved me. For God so loved Lena. For God so loved Peter, you know. Personalize that and just meditate on that if that's all that you can memorize for now. And the second day they reported, it feels so good. I had good night rest last night. They were saying that. I wish you folks were there. It's just so uplifting. You know, of course, we don't depend on our feelings because I know that this is alive, but it's just good to hear that from them, that they were touched, you know, they received the word. And that was really good. Oh, dear. Okay. And the second day, where are we? The second day, I talk about, because they did accept the Lord Jesus. I said, do you know Jesus? So then they were saying how they know Jesus and who Jesus is. And we went over scriptures on who Jesus is. And Lag was very helpful with that. She gave me a handout before I went. I said, Lag, do you have something that just say who Jesus is, you know, and the different scriptures on who he is? So she gave me that handout. So there were like two back-to-back pages on who Jesus is. But it was too much for them to go over with. So I just picked some that are the main ones that is easy for them to remember. Like, again, I went to the book of John, John, I am the bread of John 6:48, I am the bread of life. 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But they went home with a list of who Jesus is. So I told them, that's your homework. Please read those. And even when we're not here, you know, you can always bring that up and read it again. Because we need to see the way we see Jesus, the revelation of him, who he is, will not affect how God loves us or how God will accept us, but it will affect how we receive from him. So if we don't know that Jesus is the healer, how are we going to receive the healing from him? If we don't know that Jesus is the provider, you know, Jehovah Jireh, how are we going to pray that he's going to provide for our daily needs? So God still loves us, but we need to expand that, I told them. We need to know who Jesus is, what he does for us. When we read the Bible, it's not just reading what we can and cannot do, but it's reading the Bible so Jesus will be revealed to us. Because really, Jesus is it. Jesus is everything, you know. So how we receive from him depends on how we know him. So even that applies to us, Christians. Because the more we know him, the more we can receive from him. And the more we are grounded in God's love, the more the changes happen in our lives without even praying for it. You know, when you're meditating on the righteousness of God, you're meditating on God's love for us, the goodness of God bring us to repentance. That change is taking place in us. So it's not just, oh, Lord, help my anger, help me with this and that. We can pray that too. But the bottom line is knowing God loves you. And he's not out there to get you. You know, if you do something wrong, he's not out there with his belt or your whip. You know, sometimes we look at the Father God like how our earthly father. But he is not like that. He is full of love because he is love himself. So I knew they were receiving because while I was still talking, you know, some of them were already crying. And I go, Lord, you're just so good. But I don't know about you, Pastor, but the more you see that, you know, the more you want to give out. I said, Lord, give me some more to give. Give me the words to speak so that I can really minister to them. And it was good. The second day, the Lord, again, we did the prayer of salvation. And I make it very simple. ABC of salvation. ABC, accept, believe, and confess. So if we just know those three words, you know, accept that you're a sinner, you know, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Believe that Jesus died, yeah, and rose again, you know, John 3:16, and also confess. Romans, you know, we confess that. And that's it. You know, it's so simple. We don't need to make it so complicated. And they received that. So it was, like I said again, it's really God-inspired and Holy Spirit-led meeting. That's the only description that I can describe that. It's beyond words. Because really, in Colossians 2:3, it says in NLT, in whom Jesus are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So everything is Jesus, everything. So we just have to get to know him. Even though for us more seasoned Christian, more mature Christian, it's good to go back to that fundamentals, like I said, that it's all about Jesus, even our faith. Priscilla was the first one I heard from about our faith. It's not really our faith. It's by the faith of Jesus, we go to the Father. Because sometimes we question our faith, you know. Do I have enough faith? And that happened to me. I questioned my faith. Do I have enough faith? My faith is not strong enough. How come this thing happened? I prayed and this thing happened and that happened. But the Lord gave me that revelation when my good friend died of cancer. And I prayed, and we even went to visit her in Seattle at the time. Spent a few days with her. And she died. And that really affected me. I thought my faith is not good enough. My faith is not this and that. But really, I was putting my faith in my own faith. We need to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By his faith. So if is Christ's faith good enough? Of course, it's good enough. Not our own faith. And I was so encouraged because at that time we were having Bible study at our house and Leg was leading the Bible study. She didn't know what I was going through. I didn't share with her. And she just gave the word of knowledge. She said, you have stalwart faith. I go, stalwart faith? We don't talk like that. Said, get the dictionary and find out what that is. But anyway, that's going rabbit trail. So that's what we had in the Philippines meeting. And let me give you this closing scripture because it's now past 8 o'clock. Closing scripture, one of my favorite verses, which Pastor mentioned when he prayed, Ephesians 3:20. But let me start reading from Ephesians 3:17 because this is what I left the group in the Philippines after our second Bible study. In Ephesians 3:17 says that in NLT, I think this one. No, I think this is King James. Anyway, Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. There you go again, love. And verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, knowing Christ, knowing the love of God, will give us the fullness of God. And then this is my, like I said, one of my favorite scripture, verse 20. As a result of knowing Christ and rooted and grounded in his love, the result is verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. See, I used to read that and I said, Lord, that didn't happen yet. Now we're exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. Until I studied this, and it is really knowing Christ, knowing about the love of Christ, so that the result then is verse 20. So that when we know his love, we know God's love, the fullness of his love, we are filled with God. And then we can have this now to him. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And who is that power that works in us? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. That's all I have, Pastor. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your love, your precious love, Lord. Thank you that even yet we are sinners, Lord, you love us anyway. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given your precious Son, that we have that eternal life, Lord. And I thank you. I thank you, oh Lord, that we are no longer wandering here and there. And what it is, Lord, why it is that we are here. Why is it, Lord, that this happening and that happening? But Lord, that we will know that love, that exceeding love, that unconditional love, that unselfish love, the love that passes all understanding, Lord, passes all knowledge. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We accept that love that you have for us. We accept it, O God, so that in turn we can love others. And we can also love you in return, Lord. So we can fulfill those two commandments that our Lord Jesus has given us. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind and our soul, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that because of that love, we can fulfill those commandments, Lord. Because we are nothing without you. But with your love, Lord, we can do anything. With your love, Lord, we are also the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. May that revelation of your love, Lord, be awakened in us. Awaken, Lord, our spirit to that love that you have. Such love that you have, Lord. Such love that you have for us, Lord Jesus, that you will even lay down your life for us so that we can also have that eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. I bless them. I bless them with the love of God. I bless them, Lord, that they too, Lord, that we can all know the depth. Although it's very difficult, Lord, because it's so great. Your love is so great. But you will give us that ability, Lord, that empowerment to be able to understand and to receive that love that you have for us. And again, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I praise you for this time that I was able to share what you have gloriously and wonderfully done during our trip to the Philippines. And Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory that you rightfully deserve. That we will be ready, Lord, when we come before you. We will be ready, and you will be able, Lord, to say, our good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.